This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Ahoy, hoy! Bit of a new style of episode this week. It's going to be a If I Were High and Mighty hybrid podcast. We had Gabrus on. It was basically a High and Mighty episode, but we spent the entire hour and a half giving unsolicited advice, so we figured this was a perfect If I Were You episode as well. We're calling it If I Were High and Mighty. But before we get into that, Jeffrey James in the studio, and you had something to say, a little announcement too.
Wait, so is it the same? I'm just going to ask as the voice of the audience, because I still don't fully get it.
No, of course.
Is the same episode being released under your podcast and High and Mighty?
That's right. So this is basically this week's High and Mighty doubling as this week's If I Were You.
So High and Mighty fans will have to wait till Thursday unless they hear this episode, in which case they have nothing to look forward to until Thursday.
Exactly, Rice. Are you caught up?
It seems like it was only positive to you, and Gabrus lost a week.
Gabrus gained two fans, me and Jake. We gained
it
an extra 45 minutes of extra advice-giving content.
4 years since the start of the network, at least.
And now we've melded podcasts into one another, If I Were High and Mighty.
Got it.
For this week only, of course.
Well, I guess that's fair.
What was your announcement?
Oh, so...
You held me up at gunpoint and demanded that you speak before the start of this episode, so
Rice.
Let's hear it.
Absolutely, Rice. Yeah. For those of you who are interested in a potential HeadGum internship, Riley and I are looking for two video interns for the HeadGum Spring Internship Program.
Okay.
Basically, the job would entail camera operating, assistant editing work, including ingesting, syncing, and logging footage and audio, and other various post-production and pre-production tasks. Basically, we are offering free lunches, a flexible schedule, and a fun working environment, and also the opportunity to learn what it is like to work.
Sorry, I'm looking at this photo again and laughing.
The fucking droopy Andrew Pyle, who works at HeadGum. I'm trying to explain two actual career opportunities, and Amir's laughing at this photo of our coworker Andrew Pyle in absolute awful pink sunglasses that
They're
take
so
up
small.
An 80th of his face. These, okay, real internship opportunities, we need two video interns. If you are interested, there will be information at headgum.com/about, as well as information on where to apply, what we need from you, and a timeline that we're looking for. We're looking to get these interns by the first week of February, so if you could email your resume, cover letter, and any necessary or appropriate video samples to hey@headgum.com. That'd be great. We'd love to have you aboard the team.
Right.
If you're qualified.
Yeah, and if you're not.
Don't bother.
I like that
If
a lot.
There's even a shred of doubt in your mind that you're
no.
not worthy of the job.
I don't think so.
Yarn.
Because maybe a lot of humble people are like, no, I shouldn't do this, but they're actually overqualified.
Yeah, when I applied, I actually needed a bit of a push off the ledge from mi madre.
Yeah.
And if she hadn't
done
that.
Look where you are now. Now you're hiring your own interns.
And if someone had spoken to me the way I'm speaking to them,
yeah.
I wouldn't have done it.
Exactly. So that's, you're not paying it forward.
I'm absolutely.
You're pushing it backwards.
I'm creating not a glass ceiling, but an ass ceiling.
Just
I've
asinine.
Gotten past, excuse me.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, continue.
I've gotten past the ceiling, and I'm laying the groundwork for me,
below
which is
you.
Also the ceiling
yeah,
of others.
Shutting the people down below
yeah,
you. Got
yeah.
it. Got it. Mm-hmm. All right, I think we're done with this little very odd intro in which I introduce another podcast, and then you make an announcement for jobs. This is an extremely unique episode of If I Were... High and Mighty.
Can I give some unsolicited advice?
Just no, we a already quick have one. Enough
Just
of
a
it.
Quick one.
All right, go.
Don't apply.
Nice.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuckboy. The number one fuckboy. The number one fuckboy. Johnny G. All you gotta do is trust me. Joining me, not in the High and Mighty studios. I am at HeadGum Studios, located at Come Kill Us at... No, I'm not gonna give the address. In a studio, guys, so if the audio is off, there's gonna be no landscapers, there's gonna be no dogs barking. It's gonna be... This is almost professional. And it better be professional. Almost. It better be professional, because I've got my engineer Mars in the studio, who normally just has to deal with the shit I send her, and also my pod father and my pod father.
Podfather's friend.
Arguably, my Podfather's lifelong roommate. Arguably my boss is?
Arguably.
Yeah.
Very arguable.
I report directly to Marty just for some stupid reason. The voices you're hearing, the Jewy one is Amir, and
Hello.
The handsome one is Jake.
Hey-o!
of Jake and Amir.
That's right.
Or, let's be honest, of Lonely and Horny.
Oh, thank you.
Which also is Jake and Amir.
Jake and Amir 3.0.
It's all the same. Yeah, Jake and Amir is like the your earth signs are Lonely and Horny.
Yes, I'm lonely. And Jake's horny.
Yep.
It's our nicknames, basically.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming all the way down to downtown Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah. I have to head out in order to get home before, you know, tomorrow morning's appointment. So I got to leave soon. Guys, thanks for doing High and Mighty. Technically, this isn't really a true High and Mighty either.
This is a crossover.
This is we're doing a crossover
episode. This is the Jetsons meets the Flintstones.
Yeah.
Now, is it solely because we were going to do each other's podcast and then we realized that's so much more work than just both putting... So this is a crossover ep.
Yeah, we're basically going to be doing the same show twice, but we might as well overlap it. So this will be in a fiery show.
Yeah, we can
show.
Make this an extra beefy High and Mighty.
Yeah.
And like that's sort of like better than two slimmed down, watered down, if I were you, in High and Mighty.
This should leave both of our fans happy.
If all two of them, my one fan and your one fan. So this is a If I Were High and Mighty.
Very good. Yes, that's perfect.
Oh, I love it. I love
it. Cue the new theme song.
What's up, shitheads? And yeah, dudes.
It's your number one, two, and three fuck boys.
So welcome to the first ever episode of If I Were High and Mighty. Maybe we'll do this on the road.
That's cool.
Take me with you. And in order to really squeeze in your guys' podcast, we're going to talk about advice.
Yes.
Yeah, which I think is a good idea. Because we were originally going to talk about podcasting, because for me, this is quite an honor. Because not only were you the guys who told me you should do a podcast, we'll help you make it happen.
Yep.
But also, you were my first guests.
Wow, that's right.
Do you remember where we met Gabrus when we told him that we wanted him to do a podcast?
Trenchers?
Trencher, that's right.
Yeah, sandwich place in
Echo
Park.
We made you drive across town then, too.
Oh, yeah. But that was for sandwiches is better than for fucking doing my job that I have a complete setup for in my house.
We should have come to you.
Yeah, it's like driving here to take a shower.
Yeah, but now you don't have to drop off anything to Marissa.
Right, I don't
the
have
work
to,
is done.
That part is hard for me.
Yeah.
So it's like to take a two-hour commute instead of... sorting out Dropbox.
Yeah, for like, I guess that takes like 10 minutes, maybe?
If I remember to eject the SD card before I put it back in the H6, or else normally I don't do that, and that's like 11 to 15 minutes.
See, look how much you've learned already in those 3 years. You didn't know what those
three
words meant.
All it took was, has it been 3 years? It's, right?
Over, yeah, 3.5.
August of 2015.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, I think, because I, only for like 8 weeks, I double dipped. I did two episodes a week. And I'm up to like episode 170. When we're recording this, I'm in like 180, maybe 185.
Yeah, so
that's so many episodes of a podcast.
Yeah,
I can't believe people listen to it, and I certainly can't believe I recorded them.
It's much easier to listen.
Yeah, oh, yeah. How many episodes do you guys have out now?
We're over 360.
Yeah, it's like 370.
Jesus.
Yeah. It's one of those numbers that at a certain point becomes less impressive.
Right. Well, you start to go like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Didn't like, anything 100. Else pan out for you?
Awesome. I'll just do this until the show gets picked up. Episode 280, 360, 490.
They're just
I'm not pitching anymore.
Episode X, now they're in the Roman numerals.
Yeah.
It's like an exponent. It's like episode 6 exclamation point.
If you remember in Mario 1, there was this hack where you can jump on a turtle shell over and over and get like infinite lives. And at a certain point, the numbers...
That wasn't Mario 3?
I'm pretty sure
it was Super Mario 3.
Okay.
But maybe you're right.
But at a certain point, the numbers run out and it's like you have a triangle amount of lives, circle amount of lives. They like replace it because they didn't have enough information to put like 150 lives.
They're just like, we don't know what the character would be.
Yeah, exactly. You have a square amount of lives. So that's what number we're on.
That's what number we're on. We're on square. Yeah. Welcome to the square episode of If I Were High and Mighty.
Are you calling me a square for even bringing that up? Is that why it's the squareth episode?
Yeah, dude. That's exactly why, man.
Cool.
Now take the squareth root and get the fuck out of here.
That's cool.
I am root. What do you guys want to do? How do you want to talk about advice? Have you guys gotten good advice early in your life that you have stuck by forever?
I have a piece of advice that I can't remember if I gave it or if I came up with it. I feel like it exists in the ether, but it's advice that I gave my brother when he moved to New York, and he's told me recently that it was the best advice he ever got.
Ooh. Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. I like this.
It's very, very simple, but every time you're at a bar—
Brush your teeth. okay.
That's my dad's only piece of advice ever. When you go to a bar in anywhere, not just in New York, you're ordering shots, always order one for the bartender as well. Oh. You say 5 shots and 6 if you want one. They very rarely take you up on it, but almost every time they will give you those shots or at least some of them for free. You'll never have to pay for a bartender shot. And then they're also, they pay attention to you the rest of the night.
Yes.
You're a bartender. Did people do that to you?
Yes. I used to black out bartending. I used to show up to the bar, open up, remember vitamin water, like the yellow one, energy? I would drink like the top half of it and then just pour like Smirnoff. Well, I think actually Bacardi Citron or Bacardi Limon.
That gives me such happy flashbacks to like from high school until I was 30. That was like my Friday or Saturday night drink. It was with lemon lime Gatorade.
Yes, though. Of course.
Drink it just to the break in the bottle.
Yep, to the label.
Yeah, to the label, fill it up, and then I'd like walk wherever I was going. And
so how many shots is that in that Gatorade bottle?
Oh, I guess it could be like 4 or 5.
3 or 4, yeah.
I used to do that when I was driving, which is really, really bad.
Jesus. And that's another good bit of advice that I got.
Don't do that. Don't drink and drive. But I definitely used to do that.
I used to just get absolutely blasted and then stop drinking at like 2 in the morning because by the time 4:30 came around, I could drive home. But I would be like getting hungover on the car ride home.
Oh, no. That's a bad situation.
I would stop at 7-Eleven and buy Gatorade, those weird little fucking taquito things that were on the wheel, and like $80 worth of scratch offs every night. Cause like you just can't give a fucking 20-year-old kid cash. I'm like, holy shit, I gotta go home and put this in a drawer. Nope, I gotta buy scratch offs to win more.
My friend Steve was a bartender, and he used to always just have this thick ass wad, this roll of cash. I mean, I don't think he had more money than everybody else, but he just like, it looked rich.
Like, I wish I had one cash gig a week still, and I could be like, this is just my weed money or something like that.
Your wad of weed money.
Oh, that's good advice.
Yeah.
Just keep a wad of cash somewhere. There's something nice about it.
I will say, that is something my dad told me when I was young, is always have cash on you, and I still always have cash on me, even in now that we're nearly a cashless society.
Yeah. Do you ever use cash?
What?
Do you ever use cash, or is it like the same $50 bill?
No, I always use cash now.
Yeah, I've been using cash this week, and actually, I really like it.
Like, I'd use cash for like tips or like to give someone else instead of Venmo. Or like sometimes you need to like tip the valet guy $2 or you want to like throw $5 into something or put a dollar in the jar at whatever you're at. It's just like, oh, fuck. Yeah. Having cash is important.
That happens more and more. Like, people with service jobs where you get like a dollar, $2 get so fucked in this society that we live in. There should be some sort
Apple
of system.
Apple Pay tips.
There should be like an app like that.
That's funny. When I was at Bonnaroo, they had like in the VIP section where like you were drinking for free, the bartenders had tip jars, and then they also had you can Venmo me at.
Oh.
So people were tipping him $1 or $2 at a time to go get drinks, and he was just like, the phone was just buzzing. And I'm like, that's a smart move.
Especially for
like a music festival where like the VIP section is everyone's got iPhones and Mophie chargers.
Yeah. Like when you're peaking, when you're rolling super hard, you're like, I'm gonna Venmo you a fucking $100, man. You
gave me water all like day. Laid on wet grass for like 2.5 hours. It was fucking awesome.
I'd rather Venmo you $10 than give you $5 in cash just because of the ease of use.
Interesting.
Because it doesn't feel like real money because it's like digital money that somebody else gave me. So now I have like $91 in my Venmo. So like, I don't care if you get 8 of it right now. It doesn't affect me.
Imagine the flip of that though is like getting $5 from someone cash versus getting $10
in my Venmo.
On Venmo. I think cash is like, there's something about cash.
It almost doesn't even matter that it's money. Anytime I get an alert on my phone, I get a little annoyed.
Yeah, exactly. Even if it's like so-and-so just paid. I hate it. I just, when you Venmo someone and then you like refresh your email and you're like, ooh, an email. And then you're like, oh, it's Venmo. I just did that. I should know.
You should anticipate that. Do you have a piece of advice that you...
Here's a really inconsequential one that I got that I still think about all the time is something that my mom told me, which is things that stay wet grow mold. So like cups that you're drying, I always flip them upside down.
Okay.
Laundry machine that's shut, I always keep it open and dry it out. And I'm like hyper alert of this kind of stuff. Where like
that's so interesting because everything else about like home making, I don't you're care stupid.
About. Yeah, I don't need. Yeah. I don't. All I care
you just,
about is
like,
trace amounts
your sheets
of water
pink and your shirt.
but my washing machine is open and dry. You'll never see mold in there.
It's funny though. Like one little nugget of information when you're young can like fuck you up for life. Like
yeah, exactly.
Like that's not something that's destroying your life.
No.
But like any little piece of information just extrapolates out and so much into your life. So it's like your mom's like, hey, always leave the dryer open because always leave the washer open because you can get mold. And you're like, okay. And then like 10 years later,
21
you have like
years
severe
later,
fucking OCD.
And yeah, I'll never like put a wet shirt into my hamper and close the closet door. I'm like, I know that that wet shirt plus the darkness will make a moldy, like, mildewy.
I just jammed like a wet towel and a bathing suit into my laundry bag before I left here. And I said to myself, you have to do laundry tonight when you
right.
get home because you just can't let that
it
shit sit.
It like sours.
It smells awful.
Yeah.
You ever have like a wet towel in your car? And then like,
I don't, but I can tell people do.
Because you just put, you got also got a mini dryer put in your car for that
reason.
Yeah,
Mini Cooper and Mini Driver.
My two favorite
and
actors.
Mini Drivers.
Winnie, I got Winnie Cooper, Mini Driver.
Nice.
Mini wow. Driver, also January 31st birthday.
Really?
Maybe she'll do my podcast.
Do you remember Very Winnie Cooper's real name?
Isn't she Marilyn Manson?
Yes, that's correct.
Oh, question. Danica.
That's right.
Danica Patrick.
No, Danica Patrick's the race car driver.
Yes.
Danica McKellar.
That's correct. Danica McKellar.
And isn't she also like Blossom? Isn't she also like a physicist or something now?
She just went on into the science world.
Yeah, I think she's like a published mathematician.
Yeah,
like,
was like some sort of news story about her a few years ago where she published a theorem.
Yeah.
Approved a theorem.
Yeah. She's That's got like cool. some weird like academia level status.
That
yeah.
means she's the most masturbated to professor of all time, probably.
Bullshit.
Right?
I got
you masturbate
another one.
To Winnie Cooper?
Well, I mean, I'm sure a lot of kids did in the early 90s.
I'm sure they did.
As long
freaks.
As you don't keep the sock in the hamper afterwards.
Yeah. As long as you take your jizz sock and lay it out on the drying rack over there.
That's why I always use toilet paper. I never used cloth.
Yeah, reasoning. Smart. Same reason. If you think water grows mold, jizz grows a human.
Just a baby in a hamper.
Kill me.
Please. Leave the dryer open. What?
Shmuel, no. That's the name of my child.
Oh.
What's...
Knock on wood. That my child...
Is there any advice that you can't forget?
I think I said it on one of the episode of your pod that I did with Lapkus.
Unsolicited advice?
Well, my dad one time, my dad's big thing was a New York Giants coach one time yelled at one of his receivers for over celebrating in a touchdown and said, act like you've been there before.
Yeah.
And that's like sort of like a solid piece of advice. Don't be cocky, but act like this isn't your first time at a open bar.
Yeah.
Act like this isn't your first time at like some cool swanky party. It doesn't mean like don't enjoy yourself, but just play it cool, hotshot.
Yeah.
Because like my dad's big thing too was like, Johnny, New Year's Eve, Halloween, these are amateur nights. Everyone's out there partying. They're amateurs. You got to be careful on the road. You got to be careful at these bars or parties. Everyone's an amateur partier. Because like I was just a kid who was out drinking every weekend.
You're a professional.
And he was an alcoholic. So like we had that in common. And but it would be like, it's amateur night out there. St. Patty's Day, amateur night. People are getting fucked up that aren't normally getting fucked up. And you just got to be aware of that.
For me, it's just another Tuesday. But for all these kids dressed up like Santa.
I'm dressed as Santa smashing Guinnesses all week long, all year long. This doesn't even land.
1,000 hours. I'm a professional SantaCon drunk.
This is not real advice, but like this is something I've gotten to doing is like, hey Siri, remind me to blank, 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 at blank, 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 especially if I'm just like home getting stoned. I'm like, hey Siri, in 20 minutes, remind me that to flip my laundry. Hey Siri, in 20 minutes, remind me to go do, and it's just like the most minor, I don't even have the notifications turned on.
And she just like talks to you?
Or she'll just like pick up your phone to look at it at some point and it'll say like laundry. And you're like, right, laundry. I don't have it like buzz or ding or anything like that. And that's like me trying to allow myself to be stoned as frequently as possible. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
I'm like, I've like built a system where I'm like, I can't be a stoner that's absolutely lazy. So
that's maturity. You're like, I'm not going to change this.
Right.
So I'm going to like be smart about who I am.
Exactly. And now I've gotten really into stoned chores. That's like my thing. Like I'll do the dishes. I'll get high, do the dishes, do laundry. Like, you know, it's just something you can kind of do and it sucks less. I'll pop a podcast in, get stoned, and then just like get fucking an hour's worth of stuff done around the house.
Do you ever consider sobriety?
No. You mean like
next question?
You mean like overall, like
taking a yeah? Do you ever imagine a world where like for the next X amount of time, or maybe even the rest of my life, I won't get high?
I will never imagine the rest of my life, but the next amount of time, I could see that just because I do like to do weird like self experiments.
Yeah, like your half marathon.
Yeah, so I think I would try like, oh, let me take a month off weed and see like.
You've never done that? I feel like you have.
I've done it. I've done like, you know, 2 weeks at a time. For a while, I was doing no weed Monday through Wednesdays.
Oh.
And that was
Monday through
Wednesdays. Yeah, just, 3 days.
So you can get high on Monday and then on Wednesdays.
Yeah. It's Tuesdays.
Tuesday. It's bone sober Tuesday.
And that was just edibles.
And I was just like at 11:59 Monday p.m. and then 12 off. Yeah. Just like, hold it in your lungs. It counts. Get 40 seconds into the Tuesday.
No, so high, it'll take you to Wednesday.
I was trying to like wait until Thursday night to smoke my first weed of the week.
Yeah.
And that was, it was interesting because the only thing it did, I feel like the main takeaway was that Thursday joint was so good. Right. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was like, oh, I earned this. I took three.
Yeah.
And almost might be worth it to keep that alive because then you're like, never get tired. You know, it doesn't feel like I'm just like, but you know, like right. By the end of the holiday break, I was just like waking up in the morning and smoking a joint like the way people smoke cigs. Like I
or
was just
like coffee.
Oh yeah. I would make a cup of coffee and a joint and then walk outside. And this was like the winter on Long Island. I was just like, oh fuck, I gotta get fucking
9:54 another day of this.
Jesus Christ. Meanwhile, I'm like renting a house with my friends who have two daughters.
Oh
I'm like,
God.
All right. Jesus Christ. They're like all screaming, making breakfast. I'm like, I'll be ready.
Your friend Gabrus is weird.
Yeah. Uncle Gabrus, I love one of my favorite things is little kids, they all call me Gabrus. Like all my friends' kids call me Gabrus.
Uncle Gabrus?
Some of them call me Uncle Gabrus, but one of my best friends, his kid for a long time, thought that because I would come over and be so nice to him and I came with a woman, my wife, who was friends with his mom, he was like, when is Gabrus and his mom, Tiffany, coming over? Adam Pally's kid thought I was like a kid like him. He was like, when is Gabrus and his mom coming?
You know that other 6-year-old that's
Gabrus
much bigger than me?
Gabrus.
Gabrus touches his mom's ass a lot.
Which is also true.
Still true, baby.
I had a question. All right, so back to advice. What's a piece of advice that you think you needed as a kid?
Oh, you wish you knew?
Oh,
or not even
yeah.
Like wish you, like, yeah, I guess maybe wish you knew, or just like, what kind of stuff were you struggling with? What did people need to help you out with when you're like in high school and college? As I feel like we get a lot of questions of people in that era of their life who are like, everything's a big deal. Like, what did you think was a big deal?
Here's advice I could have used for real, because I was gifted is hyperbole, but I was like very smart early on. And so everything was really easy for me all through elementary school, junior high, high school. Even I didn't try hard. I didn't do well, but I didn't do any work and I got by. And I got to college and you can kind of skate through college too. And then I got to be 23.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, cool. I got a life now. And then you get to be 22 or 23 and you start to the things you want to do for the first time. You don't have any training in trying hard.
Right.
And I like never tried hard. So I didn't know like.
It's not even like you wish you learned more in school. It's just like you wish you practiced effort.
I wish someone told me that it's very important because eventually you're going to want something and you're going to need to try hard for something.
That's really, and I've never thought about that.
Because this is something that's come to my mind because I think it's prevalent a lot among a lot of people I'm friends with too, because it's like the comedy world where you're like, obviously, I was like smart and witty as a kid.
Right.
Then the rest of the world caught up with me, but I never had to try hard for anything. Or, you know, there's like also like the also charismatic and charming
right.
people.
You can
like,
get by on that.
You can.
Like, I used to just make my teachers laugh.
Right.
And that
same
was
here.
Like, okay, so like, I'll never completely fail because they like me.
Exactly. Like, one of the, Miss Parla Greco, one time, my chemistry teacher in high school said to my mom,
As a student, I hate him. But if he was my son, if he was my son, I would love him. And it was like the most kind of like, it was like,
and your mom's like, I feel the opposite.
I wish he was my student. But, and then like now that there are things I want to do in life, I don't have a work ethic. Mm. I'm like 36 years old and I'm like learning how to like try. And like, to be honest, the half marathon thing that I did, like, there's a few times in my life where I work really hard physically for an extended period of time, and then you can really see that you've made a difference.
Right.
I'm so used to like instant gratification of like, oh, this is easy. Look, I did it. And now it's like, oh, I wish I understood earlier, like long, like working on something, you can get really good at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I've never done anything long. Like, I get so bored so easy. Like, comedy is the only thing that I've always been doing.
And right. Podcasting specifically is like, I'm funny for 45 minutes. Here it is. You do your own shit. Rather right. than like working on a movie for a year, sculpting it, making it better.
Exactly.
Building a story.
And I think that a lot, I exacerbated this issue in me by getting into improv, which is like, arguably, like, it's lazy if you get good at it, because then, like, once you've trained in it, you're like, oh, I'm good at this. And it's yeah. like, okay. Well,
the
what are you going to do? You
don't have
to,
that
like,
I don't right. try.
Yeah, you don't have to, like, I don't have to write anything. I don't have to, like, stretch edit. Before. Yeah, I don't have to do shit.
Is there anything that, to the idea that you might have accidentally been trying really hard at improv? Like, that, you did a lot of work at it. Right. Just because it was easy.
And fun.
It doesn't necessarily mean that you weren't putting effort in.
Right.
It, but, maybe just didn't feel like it.
Maybe I didn't feel like it, or maybe I'm okay with putting effort in if it's something I'm already good at.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, because I think that might be a little true for me too. Something that you're like naturally kind of good at is right. easier to like dive in on. But rather than like a learning curve, I think I keep coming back to the running thing, because it is something most people can do and most people don't do.
Yeah.
And I just knew that like, oh, I should be able to do this. And you can. But the issue is that it's like, there's such an obvious growth path. It's like, run 1 mile, get good at that. Then run 2 miles, get good at that. It's so simple. And it's like the most base level of like, it's just like, keep doing it and you get better at it. And you can actively feel it. In under 6 months, you can see such improvement in just running.
Yeah.
Not including like your physique changes or your attitude change. I mean, just like how much better you are at the activity of right. running.
The amount of time it takes you to yeah. run.
And it's like, and in your head, you're going like, I literally, this is how I felt. Like, I was telling people, I'm like, you know, if you like run like a couple of times a week for like 10 weeks, you get good at running and like you get better and it becomes easier and you like, can go further, faster. People
I knew
like,
that in high school,
yeah,
Gabriel.
Yeah, it's like the most basic principle, but you forget that, especially because I feel like career-wise and hobby-wise, we all have these sort of like esoteric, not necessarily quantifiable careers. It's not like, all right, I banged out my 10th screenplay. I'm really getting good at these. Like, you know, everything takes a different amount of time. And plus you got to sell it. There's all the subjectivity. Like running, I felt like was like the first thing I've done in a long time that was like objective, where it was like, you are now better at this, like scientifically.
Yeah. And there's proof to it because you're traveling further than you could before.
Right, exactly. And then you're like, but then also on a macro scale, you look at it as like, when you first started running, you were like, I can't believe, like you ran 1 mile and it was so hard. And you're like, I have to do 13 miles in November. But then all of a sudden you're like running 5 miles and it's not that hard. And you're like, remember when 1 mile was really hard? Yeah. And you're like, well, it's been 6 weeks. 5 miles is way easier. I think if I just keep doing this, 13 is going to come around. And it just does. Like,
yeah, that's crazy. So like going into your marathon, you weren't even nervous.
I knew it was going to suck. But I had run 9 miles before it at some point. So I was like, I can't be that much harder. I'll just survive it. Yeah. I wasn't trying to do well. I was just trying to survive it. But I felt like, you know, it's a crazy thing when you're doing that kind of training. You get to a point where every single time you do it, you're doing something that you've never done before.
Yeah.
Where if you like, I ran 6 miles for the first time in my life. The next week, I ran 7 miles that's for the right. first time. And the next week, 8. And next week, 9. And then a couple weeks later, 13. Like, that's insane.
Yeah, I remember like training for a half marathon and like running around my hometown and being like, all right, today's a long run. I got to run 11 miles. And I was like, okay, like, where should I run to? And I realized I could like run to my dad's office and back. And like, that wouldn't even be 11 miles. And I was like, my town is so fucking small.
it's crazy. I remember being like, Tiffany was like, where'd you run today? I'm like, from La Cienega to Highland, down to Third, down to like, and she's like, you went all the way around Hollywood? And I was like, yeah. She's like, how far was that? I'm like, 7 miles.
That's, yeah, it's crazy.
And it's like, you could drive that in 40 minutes, or you can run it in 2.5 hours.
Yeah. In 42.
Yeah, I'm fast, dude. I'm fast.
Traffic's bad.
So I guess what I'm saying, and that's a big piece of advice I wish I knew, and then something else, and this is all, now maybe I'm also spewing therapy talk to you guys, but something else I'm working on as of last year is thinking about the future Gabrus. And not even like 5 years. I'm talking 48 hours, 1 week, 1 month. Mm. I used to just, and I still do, and I have to stop myself. I act for just like an inch in front of my face.
Right.
I'm like, oh, look, dude, Jake and Amir want to have some drinks. It's like, who cares what I have tomorrow, the day after? Like, I'm like, let's just get fucking wasted. You know, like, I make these choices that I don't think about the future.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, when I go, like, I don't have to fucking work on this. I could put another hour into fucking Red Dead Redemption 2. And then you're like, do it. And then you're like, fuck, I should have thought about, now the next day I'm mad that I did that because I didn't think about the headspace of being, you know?
You're fucking over your future self.
Right, yeah. And for no reason other than I'm not thinking about my future self.
Only because you're being loyal to your current self.
So my current self.
Sorry, future Gabrus, but current Gabrus was like.
Yeah, he wants to jerk off. He doesn't care if he's at an elementary school. Future Gabrus, enjoy jail, dog. So that's like, and I think that dovetails with what I was just saying before too, because like, you have to think about eventually getting to 13 miles. You have to like, in order to get there, I have to do this today.
Yeah.
But these tasks can feel.
That is what effort is, right? Like, it's thinking about the results of your effort and like knowing that it's worth putting in all the work.
There's that like quote, I forget who it is. It might be Emily Dickinson. I forget. It's like, I hate writing. I love having written. And it's like, that's like running to me. But also, you can understand that for a lot of activities.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't want to go for going to do shows. Like when you're being lazy, you're like, I don't want to go do this fucking show. You know what? And then you like do it. You're like, oh, I can drive there. Oh God, look, parking. Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Then you do it and you're like, have the time of your life. You're driving home. You're like, there was a period of time when I didn't want to do this. It was earlier. It was like 1.5 hours ago. I'm not feeling that yet. I'm still pissed about driving here.
It'll be later tonight when you don't have to email Marissa the episode.
Yeah, I'd be like,
this is great.
Oh, I bought myself 5 minutes. Thank you, past Gabrus.
Giving your bandwidth internet costs low.
Did you ever get advice? You know, also, this is a corny saying because it's like on throw pillows and like weird posters. But it also stems to this, like, a journey of 1,000 miles starts with one step.
Yeah.
On the most minor level, it is sort of, the expression could just be like, just do the thing.
Yeah.
Do the thing. Whatever the thing is that you're talking about.
Start the thing.
Start the thing. I like that. That's my next t-shirt.
Start the thing.
Begin it already.
Because it is like that. It's so easy to just be in your head about like, this is something.
It all seems daunting from the outside, but like, how often do you like put your feet into the water and then like not get used to it? Like once you get your foot in there, you're like, all right, well, I'm going to go in.
Right. I'm here already.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
But like standing on the beach with your shoes on, you're like, I'm not now.
Right.
The first step really is just like taking the shoe off.
Oh, I really like this. And I especially appreciate you using a beach analogy.
Well, you just did a polar plunge.
Right. Yeah, I just did. On Jan 1st. It's so true. Just start the thing. Like,
start the thing.
That happened to me. Like, I've been like, oh, I should like learn to scuba dive. I want to learn to scuba dive. Talk to a friend. Yeah, we should learn. That'd be so much fun. Oh, it'd be sick, dude. And it's like, wait, should I call a scuba dive place and just see if they can book this weekend that we're both available? And my friend was
Current Gabrus is like, no, jerk off.
Yeah, he's like, no,
eat a chicken.
Keep jerking off at least if you're going to call. Don't stop.
And then just call Louis style.
Yeah, I did a Louis style call to the scuba center, and then I called back with a Z's and gave him the claw. Gave the scuba instructor the claw.
This is also secret items on the In-N-Out menu.
Right?
It's when you jerk off into a double-double.
The Louis.
You're banned from an In-N-Out, right?
No, that was a Fatburger. At In-N-Out.
You got banned for bringing Fatburger covered in jizz into In-N-Out. They're like, we're not even mad about the jizz.
It's the, you're not allowed to eat. Standard. You can come into our sandwiches.
Please come into our sandwiches. That's like a very interesting commercial.
Come on in.
So you called the scuba place.
Called the scuba place, got took my first weekend. I have my second weekend's booked in like February, and I'm going to be scuba certified.
Patty?
Patty, baby.
Hell yeah.
Are you Patty?
Hell no.
Oh, okay.
My brother did it when we were in Hawaii on a vacation once.
Patty, what does it mean?
I don't know. It's like PADI.
Yeah, it's PADI. It's like Professional Association of Diving Instructors or something. It's just the kind of certification you
got
need.
Got it.
And it's like, it was amazing. It was terrifying, but it was one of those things. It's something I always thought about doing. And then like 2018, I just started, I was putting so much stuff off for some time in my life when it would make sense.
Yeah.
I was like, well, I can't get into this now. I got so much work going on. And then like a year would pass and I would look back on that year and I'd be like, I spent the whole year being like, I can't wait to do some of these interesting things I want to do. And then I was like, why didn't I just do one of them? Like if I did one a year for the last 8 years, I would have the eight things done that I wanted to do. And it would be so, it's so not daunting when you, once you start it, but the idea of like, I want to learn to surf. You're like, oh Jesus Christ, how am I going to do that? And it's like,
yeah,
the fucking, after you do it once,
you you're like fuck around with like little details. Like when, sometimes when I see my inbox in my email, like, oh, I'll just like respond to these really, really like menial things, order something from Amazon. And then like all the way at the bottom is like a movie idea that I have.
I'm the king of putting like momentum building shit on my to-do list where it's like cut nails. Throw, you know,
like, right to-do list. I can do that. Cross off one item at random. Awesome. Buy taxes.
So my advice is start the thing, do the thing, and fuck it, while you're there, enjoy the thing.
That's big three. Now you made a t-shirt.
That's a throw pillow in a divorcee's house for sure.
Yeah, there used to be more furniture here, but I got rid of it. You can sleep on that do the thing pillow that I still have next to the couch.
If you, what about specific advice, someone who's going away to college? What advice would you give them?
Up with your boyfriend or girlfriend.
Exactly. Yo, that is, unless it's like fucking whirlwind amazing, just get out of it.
Yeah.
Yes. It's going to happen anyway. Mm-hmm. That's advice I wish someone gave me. Because then instead, same. I just sort of did the, I ghosted. I did an old fashioned ghost on a girl I dated for, it wasn't called ghosting then. It was the 2000s. Just stopped contacting a woman that I was hooking up with over the summer. And then
even more confusing when it's not like kind of in the zeitgeist.
Right. When it's like not even something that she's like, you know what happened to me the other day? And like none of her friends could go, oh, you got ghosted, baby. Everyone's like, that sounds like a monster.
That's insane. Yeah.
You might not have had cell phones then, so it's much easier to ghost.
It was much easier to ghost. And then I never called her and like broke up with her and just kind of went about my school year. And I was like, wow, that was really smooth. And then I came home and tried to get a job back at this place a place I used to work. It was like a part-time job I did, but the girl's sister was the boss and she's like, we're not hiring you back. I'm like, why? She's like, because of what you did to my sister. I was like, oh, okay, repercussions. Interesting.
You can actually sue her for sexual harassment.
Sexual harassment.
Yeah, she didn't hire you because you didn't sleep with her sister. That's completely illegal.
That wasn't exactly what the dynamic was.
Your Honor, my client.
I gotta have you represent me in court.
Yeah, you would be some kind of weird ambulance chaser.
The facts or the case are there.
Your Honor, if I were you, that's where the title of your memoir comes from.
Can I just break for a second to talk about MeUndies, if the court will allow?
If it please the court.
we don't talk about MeUndies on High and Mighty.
Sorry about that. Hashtag Mac Weldon.
Hey, I got brand loyalty over here. I've got one advertiser is what I'm saying.
Don't fuck this up for me.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget. Mm-mm-mm. Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Indeed. Indeed.
Simply put, it's the easiest way to create a professional-looking website.
Couldn't agree more, bud.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the tweet. No, they do have a lot more than that. They have 24/7 award-winning customer support. They have very simple drag-and-drop technology. You can code, you can design a professional-looking website without knowing much about how the internet works.
You can sell. You can launch and sell product from Squarespace. Yes. That's right.
You can even purchase a domain name through Squarespace. For example, Jake, what can people purchase?
Boneheader.com. Boneheader. It's like...
Interesting. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like if you're a boneheaded person, but you're doing a boneheader of a move. You know what I mean?
What about fitnessnah.com? So it's sort of like a relaxation technique slash way to say damn the man with regards to fitness.
It's a movement about not going to the gym. Fitness,
it's it's an anti-movement, really. Oh, it's a non-movement movement.
Is anti-movement one? Anti-movement seems like it should be.
I'll have to check it out later. Actually, let me look right now. Antimovement.com is not available. Don't buy that one.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't. But so it's fitness,
fitnessnah.com.
Yeah, it's more of a fitness nah thing.
Yeah. Squarespace AI also is a great way to kickstart or update written content on any website. They can generate instant personalized results that know and show your brand identity. Pretty cool there too.
Incredible.
So the way to get in on this action and launch your own website soon enough is to go to squarespace.com/segments.
Segments.
And when you're ready to launch, you use that coupon code segments at checkout to save 10% off their already low, low prices.
Beautiful.
Again, check out squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Thanks, folks.
Thanks, Squarespace. Thank you to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode of our program.
Hell yeah.
It's pretty simple. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, and then it monitors your spending and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings.
It's perfect. It's for all those subscriptions that you tried and then forgot about, but you're actually paying for, and you don't even realize it, folks.
I had, no joke, over $1 million a month worth of subscriptions that I did not need.
That's amazing.
Did not
need. That's amazing. That's so much cash.
I was buying 35 new houses a freaking month on this subscription box that I accidentally subscribed to when I was high.
Bark box. Yeah, bark box.
Yeah, it came with the condos, dozens of them a month. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what? Let me do a quick little audit. Rocket Money came in and they're like, by the way, you're spending $1.5 million a month. We could probably just cancel this one.
Yeah. Like, damn,
and
I could use that.
I did.
Incredible.
Yes. Congrats. And you should use that. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved them a total of $500 million. That's almost entirely me. $500 million in canceled subscriptions.
Yeah.
Most
of it yours.
Saving the average member only $740 a year, which is not as much as the $1.5 million a month that I saved, but still a lot of money to some people.
For sure.
So if you're looking to save some cash, which who isn't, you can stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
There's something in your bank account that doesn't need to be there. Rocketmoney.com/segments will find it and eliminate it.
Whoa. Nice.
Again, That's rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
Take control of your finances today.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Rocket Money.
My advice is to do more stupid things. I was kind of the opposite. Like, I was so worried about everything, even in college, that I never did the stupid things that people had fun doing in college, like traveling abroad, like third year abroad. I didn't want to do that.
That's one of my biggest regrets in life, is that I didn't go to Australia for a semester, which was something I dreamed of doing in college, and I didn't do it because I like was enjoying school.
Yeah, because like,
and I was like,
oh,
but school's fun, and it's like, then I'll miss a comedy. I miss my comedy group. I can't imagine taking a semester. Oh, here's a good example of that. Sorry to, I'm stamping all over it.
It's okay, it's your show now.
I was on an improv team with this dude, and he was Matt Moses. Shout out to Matt Moses, very funny guy. He was like, I got into Yale, into the MFA program for playwriting, and I'm going to go to Yale and get my playwriting master's. I'm like, that's fucking amazing. He's like, I know, but it's 3 years. I'm going to be like gone for 3 years. He left, got it, had an amazing experience. and he did it like in his late 20s, and then when he came back, he just got put on the Harold team that I was on at that moment. Like, and I was like, oh my God, I was in my head going, yeah, you're right. 3 years out of the comedy scene, shit's going to be different. Then instead he comes back and has a fucking degree and a wonderful experience.
Everyone's still there.
An Ivy League education and a Harold
team. And I'm like, oh, Moses is back. Can we add him to our team? And the director was like, artistic director was like, yeah, of course. That's a great idea.
He went to Yale.
Yeah. And he came back and he was like, hey, and I'm like, oh man, I'm still here.
I have a podcast now.
Yeah. I mean, like my life was good and all that, but it was one of those things where in my head I was like, no fucking way. And it's like, yeah, you know, there's time for everything.
Yeah, and you could be a little stupid in college. I think I was afraid to like do stupid things.
Yeah, I'm so mad I didn't go live in Australia for a semester. That was like my big
regret. You could literally go anywhere. Like most colleges are like, yes, please take this like opportunity at a free
if we don't have a location there, you could go to another school for a semester. Exactly. That's totally fine.
Did you travel abroad, Jake?
No, I didn't even really go to college.
Oh, right. Yeah. That I knew.
Maybe, I don't know if that's one of my regrets, because I'm really grateful for the way it all worked out. But when I should have been a junior, I had an internship at College Humor and I had the exact same thing. I didn't want to leave.
Right.
So I had a full-time job basically starting when I was 20, 21.
Oh, that's, see, that's the thing. That's interesting, because it's like, do you regret that or no? Because if you went to college by junior year, you'd be like, I wish I was fucking interning at College Humor.
Yeah. I don't know.
Like that would be something that you would maybe want anyway.
I feel like I had too much like good luck with timing to have done any of that stuff.
Right.
Even though that's like the exact opposite of the story that you just told.
But it's true though. There's an element of truth there.
Yeah. If I left, I wouldn't have started working with Old Blooms here.
Yeah. But also at the same time, you might have gone to college, made a couple of friends, come back, had a great experience, come back and worked with Amir starting from that point.
Or I might have found a funnier comedy partner and like actually done some shit.
I don't know if that's possible.
Thank you. I thought I was going to have to say it.
Find someone funnier than Amir. Good luck. Where would you find one besides obviously this room sitting across from you?
You do.
Oh, man, if you would have went to college, we could have been writing partners.
What would that have looked like?
Wait, we need one Amir to get work done.
Terrible writing partners.
You need an Amir. Yeah, my writing partner, Justin, for the longest time, not this fucked up, but like more responsible than the more responsible one, too.
Yeah, where did he go to school?
Your Amir is Marissa now.
Yes, my Amir is Marissa.
Where did Justin go to school?
He went to Hamilton, and then he's in my mind right now because we're talking about that travel thing. He was a Fulbright scholar and traveled the world for a year after college, paid for by a grant.
That's so cool.
That's a life experience that you just can't get anymore.
I've never traveled alone. Maybe that would be my advice. And I can still do it, but I don't know. I feel weirder to do it. Like,
it feels even weirder once you're in a relationship.
Yeah, or like you have a job. Like I can't leave for 6 months to 12 months and just...
Oh, you would do 6 months and travel alone?
I don't know. I mean, you could right after college.
No, you couldn't. No what? Way.
You're too broke.
You don't have the constitution for it.
You can handle that shit, pussy.
You're lactose intolerant, aren't you?
You can't go around the world drinking milk. I didn't say that was my plan.
Get out of here, Tubby. I'm not even that fat.
On a small minor version of this is... I graduated college. A friend of mine who was graduating the same year as me is like, I'm moving to Los Angeles. Here's the deal. Do you want to drive cross country with me? I'll pay for everything on the drive out and I'll buy you a one way from LAX to JFK. It'll just be for the adventure. And I also got asked to start a PA job at VH1 that would have started like while I was on this adventure. And instead of asking them if I could like start a week or two later or blowing off a PA job because they were going to come around, I just didn't know. I just wanted to work so bad after college. I was like so afraid to not get a job that I took it. And I think I missed out on an amazing opportunity. I've never driven across the country. I mean, at some point, you just did it, right, Jake?
I've done it 6 times. I've done it too much.
Yeah, that's too often. Yeah.
I've seen Kansas a lot.
Yeah, don't you want Delta miles? 6 times is an insane amount of times.
Yeah, it's a lot. But I've done it differently every single time. And I love it. I can't get enough of it.
That's so awesome. Did you drive the truck?
Yeah, I drove the truck. Barely got it back. I told my mechanic that I was like, do you think that it can make it? I got it tuned up. And he was like, 50-50.
What? And you just still filled it up with shit and drove?
Yeah. And I did not tell Jill. Not till
he said 95.5.
Not until we got to New York, because I like, no one thought this was going to be. Yeah,
that's fucking awesome. Was that a great experience, though?
Yeah, it really was. It was awesome.
I want to do that at some point. I want to ride the train across the country too.
Ooh. Oh, that's cool. Yeah. That is cool.
I think you could do that like as first class as possible too, just to like have Wi-Fi in your own toilet.
That's all you need.
Yeah, that's all I need, man. I've been sitting on the shitter looking at my phone the entire
weed
time.
Pen.
Yeah, that's all I was thinking. I was like, edibles, vape pen, and fucking 10 days on a train.
Yeah, just like a light buzz the entire time.
Just interacting with every old fucking weirdo. Oh, why are you on the train? Oh, because you're on the no-fly list. Okay, well, let me not engage with you anymore.
We're sharing a bunk.
Doing this also, that what we're all describing is also do the thing, start the thing.
Yeah, get out of your comfort zone, I think, is a good one.
Break up with your partner. Go in. I would say in college, like overall, a good advice is find your tribe. Like, just find the people, you know.
You mean other Jews?
Yeah. And find them. That's cool. And kill them.
Whoa! Twist!
Hunt them and kill them. No, like, because you can spend so long trying to find a way to fit in with people, or you can meet people that you fit in with, like, naturally. And it's just like, oh, this is who I am. And I think that's why getting out of your hometown or getting at least to a new place or going, you know, somewhere is the way to do that. Like, you're not going to find it any other way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. I think I showed up at College Humor with zero friends from college. I met all of my friends there.
Right. That'll happen.
Yeah.
Or you go away to college and you're like, holy shit, like I found this like group of weirdos and like we all like the same shit. And now like, not only we all like the same shit, but I'm learning about cool stuff from them. I'm like, oh, I like this movie. Oh, if you like this movie, you should check out this movie.
Yeah.
Oh, and like you can like really get what you want out of life from friends.
Really true. Like if you get into the weeds and figure out what you like and immerse yourself in that rather than just like going to school and being like, all right, I guess I'll join a frat because like that's how people make friends.
Or maybe you meet a couple of guys in a frat and they seem really cool and you like them and then you're like, oh, if this is what these guys at that frat are like, I'll join it. But don't join it because it's the cool frat. Join it because you feel like these could be good, like these guys have something in common with
you. Were you in a frat?
No, but I played rugby, so it was like sort of
de facto.
It was a club sport. I mean, it's like a club sport. So
the house, was there a rugby house?
There was a rugby house.
Did you live there?
No, I did not. I lived in. This is a stupid brag, but I lived in a house my senior year that was cooler than all of the fraternity houses and sports houses. We lived in we lived at 95 Sunset in Poughkeepsie, New York. Called the house was called Sunset. And everyone knew about us because we were fucking all like alpha, insane assholes. And we just throw parties.
How many dudes?
It was 8 guys in a 2-family house.
Oh my God.
Yeah, we had the house had technically 3 kitchens. One of the kitchens was converted to a bedroom a long time ago. And I stayed in that room. I had cabinets all around my bedroom.
That's so
filled with all
great.
My clothes and shit like that. I just had a bed, a desk, and a dresser, and then everything was in cabinets.
That's so funny. There was a blender by your bed.
Yeah. I would just like shit in the full sink that I had there. Leave the stove on in the winter.
You got a bidet. That's cool. It's squirting the wrong way, but I can get there.
I'll figure it out. I'll just get myself upside down. So I lived like a very movie frat life without being in a frat. You know, like my college experience was very like getting fucked up, throwing huge parties, doing insane, like quote unquote pranks, which are just vandalism. You know?
And you never had to get hazed for it.
Never had. There is like one hazing for like joining a sports team usually too. Like there's like rookie initiation and we had like light hazing, but it's a club sport. So no one's that committed. So it's not like, I dedicated my life to fucking 7 days a week of rowing crew. We're going to fucking annihilate the freshmen. The rugby players were like, we just got duct taped together for like 3 hours, like face to face with everyone got paired with someone around their size. And we had to, like the 10 rookies had to finish one keg doing only keg stands as two dudes.
Oh my
like,
God.
Like two dudes taped together. So me and the other biggest guy on the team are just duct taped together. His nickname was Allstott. Named after the Tampa Bay running back who was like a tough little dude, and we got taped together and just got flipped upside down. And then like the two more guys would come over and we just kept going.
Oh,
that was my
God.
Initiation.
How many beers are in a keg? How many cans of beers?
Oh, that's a good question. That's a good question. I forget. I feel like someone went. We did the math one time. I'm sure that's
but we were
like
so drunk.
I'm sure that's like a Googleable.
Googleable.
Bingable.
It's Bing.
Oh my God, that's how Bing wins.
Siri.
Bing it, baby. The Microsoft Apple shit is very funny to me. Like, and it's always most apparent during the NFL games when it's like, refs taking a look at the surface.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, okay, it feels weird. It's called a tablet.
It's the only Microsoft Surface in the world is this Ed Hockley's on it.
Ed Hockley's is breaking it with his fucking forearms.
Hoorah!
Hoorah! Overturned. What about advice for someone who's starting a new job?
Ooh.
Oh, actually, we got an email asking us a question and we answered it. And the lady said she ended up getting a new job. And one of her unsolicited advices that she had that a lot of people appreciated is that after you interview somewhere, send an email following up to thank the people that interviewed you. And a lot of people don't do that, and it like separates you from the rest of the crowd.
Yes.
Interesting. Yes. So I didn't even know that other people didn't. I always follow up.
There's nothing. If you get their contact info, there's nothing wrong with following up.
Yeah.
Oh, you should definitely follow
That's
up.
That's sort of before you get the job, but advice from this lady who emailed our show. And
That's cool. I like that.
Sound advice.
Simple work advice I would give if you start a new job is no one ever hates you for being honest. Like you can't get yourself into trouble for being honest. Like you can, as long as you, cause you know, a lot of people who like say one thing to one person, say something, and then they find themselves like a slave to two masters or whatever. Mm. All you have to do is just keep the fucking ship going straight. It doesn't even have to be correct. You don't even have to be going in the right direction. Just always be like, this is who I am. This is how I am. This is how I feel about this thing we're talking about.
Yeah.
And I feel like just because it's very easy to be like, I need to tell all these people what they need to hear. I'm not saying be an asshole, but I'm saying like at some point, if you're trying to like impress different people, it's all going to come folding. It's the old, recently I was listening to a podcast called Last Scene. If you haven't, I recommended it to you. I don't know if you listened to it on the road.
Oh, no, it's listening to the Manson one you recommended.
Oh, actually, how good is that though?
It's great.
Yeah. You must remember this, the Manson Murders miniseries for listeners is fucking
phenomenal.
Awesome. You wait till you find out, I won't give any spoilers, but wait till you find out how connected the Beach Boys are to Marilyn Manson.
A little too connected, if you ask me. Wouldn't it be nice was all about, you know,
wouldn't it be nice if Charlie
wars.
Would leave? If we can get Charlie out of this party. This podcast, Last Scene, which was about like a Boston art heist, one of the guys who's an undercover FBI agent says, I always use my real first name and my real kids' names and my real child where I grew up because those lies are the easiest to maintain. And it is like – that's like granted like a very specific case if you're undercover somewhere. But blow that out to like real life, and if you just never bullshit anyone, you're never going to get caught in like a hypocritic moment or anything.
Yeah.
Hypocratic moment or anything like that.
That's very true. And also I think a lot of the time you – or at least I do this like – I'll tell a white lie to smooth something over, and then it like, but as it gets blown out of proportion and like things get worse, everyone's like, well, why, like, why don't you just tell me the truth?
Right.
Now it's worse. Like, I was protecting you.
And
like,
now, no. Look, and now we're fucked anyway.
So it's weird because like Jake in the moment, current Gabrus, current Jake is like, I'm doing the right thing. But future Jake is like, no.
Yeah, you're it's only going to get worse.
If you actually care about somebody, if you actually care about something, if you care about doing the right thing, which you do because you're lying so no one gets hurt, think about like the future where people are actually getting hurt.
Right.
And tell
it's
the truth
so it's so simple, but so hard to wrap your head around at the same time.
It is.
You're like, all I have to do, I'm realizing I don't have to have headphones on.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm tired of hearing my own voice. I'm like, I got Mars here. She's like, good at this. I don't wear headphones in my own house. I don't even look at it.
Those aren't plugged in.
Okay. I was just listening to a different podcast this whole time. It was very difficult to keep up with the conversation.
The other thing that I realized, I think like kind of in the middle of my time working at College Humor, is that no one is trying to fuck you over. Like,
a super rare case.
Yes. I would get so worked up being like, this boss hates me, this guy hates me, and they're like trying to fuck me. Like, no one, it's really rare that somebody is like actively evil trying to fuck you.
Yeah. And if
at
they
worst,
are,
they're not thinking
it's
about
not,
you.
It's not just you. They're trying to fuck like everyone because they're monsters or whatever. Yeah.
So
but
I think
there's no one like, with a specific vendetta against.
Yeah. Just like, don't, if things aren't going your way, don't think someone's trying to fuck you. Think instead they're probably, it's just not occurring to them.
Right.
You aren't on the top of everybody's mind.
Oh, dude, that's huge advice is like, and it's hard to hear. And they, when you just say to someone, honestly, they're probably not even thinking of it. Like, and it's such a true thing because we can overanalyze any interaction you've ever had, especially like where you're like, okay, I got a job interview. You're like interview with someone, you're like, I can't believe I said Wendy instead of Wednesday or whatever.
Oh,
and it's like they have no, and then you do something where you send an email and you're like, hey, sorry about that thing I said. And they're like, what are you talking about? And you're like, fuck, now I'm like in too deep explaining my own, I'm like lighting my own fucking house on fire at this moment.
Yeah. It's really true.
But it's such a true thing where it's like, and it's humiliating to think, like it's humbling to think about, but more often than not, the person you're stressed about, you're not on their mind.
Yeah. Oh, so the Don, it's, I think it happens in Mad Men.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. The guy in the elevator, right?
Pete Campbell.
Pete Campbell is like, what do you think about this or something? I don't remember. But
no,
he's
like, you know, I don't like you very much. And he goes, you know, I don't think about you at all. Or
Oh, that's great.
So good. It's so true. It's so true.
It's so true. He didn't think about Pete Campbell at all.
He didn't think about much of anything, unfortunately.
Don's the man. So
that's
fucking
moral.
That's
the story,
what you took
right?
away from
Mad Men. Absolutely, that's
I either
what I took
be,
away from Mad Men.
Don Draper or Walter White. Yeah. I haven't watched the last season.
I'm
of
the
either.
One who knocks.
That's really funny. Someone who never watched the last season of Breaking Bad is like, I'm going to be like Walter White.
I want to be like Heisenberg.
Yo, I'm like I'm like Tony Soprano, dude.
Dude's
like
a kingpin. He's a hero.
Here's a piece of advice that I got at a good point in my life that I kind of spew to people all the time. It's hyper specific. Maybe to the creative industry, but when I was a PA at VH1, I was talking to one of the guys who was a writer on Best Week Ever. Shout out to Kevin Marr. I say to Kevin, I'm like, I think I want to like focus on comedy more. And he's like, well, I don't know if you're going to ever have the time to do what you want to do as a PA. He's like, you make this much money. Do you know for unemployment, you make almost that much money, but then you're free all the time. He's like, you get 6 months. I say, leave. Take 6 months of unemployment and focus on whatever you want. He goes, the one thing you have to keep in mind, though, is when the 6 months are up, you need to be able to look back at it and say, hey, I did blank. And he goes, I mean, even if it is, I watched all of Deadwood. Or like, you know, I've seen it. Yeah, like I've seen
it. Another piece of advice is watch Deadwood.
Like, and it's like, yeah, on a minor level, just watch Deadwood. Because also the next season is coming. This like
Are they doing another season?
One. Yeah, they're doing like a Deadwood movie, like
Jesus Christ,
with
sick.
A lot of the same cast is all back.
So sick.
It's gonna be so awesome. But it was that advice where it was like, take this 6 month crack, and then I ended up getting like a couple of little paychecks in between, and then that bumps. You're like, you can't get unemployment that week. So I ended up like spreading it out over like 9 months. And in that 9 months, I got a lot of stuff done. I wrote like a sketch show for UCB. I started coaching improv. I found all this stuff. And it was all because Kevin was like, don't accidentally blow this opportunity.
That's really funny. Yeah. Good advice. Like, quit your job.
Yeah, it was like, quit your job, but don't regret it. He goes, because he's like, in 6 months, you might be looking for a PA job. And if you might then be a PA, like that might just be the path for the rest of your life. He's like, don't you want to look back on that 6 month period and be like, I did this cool stuff during it. And it's like, take those, especially when you're young. I know And I almost wonder if there's a flip to that advice, because there's so much old person advice of like, when you're young is when you can actually do stuff. And yeah. It's like, but when you're older is when you have money. So it's like, it's true and it's not true. And it's sort of like, maybe us older people need to be like, I need to take 6 months off work but when you're younger,
I mean, I would definitely rewatch Deadwood, but you have a lot less responsibility when you're young.
Yes.
Like your rent was lower. You didn't have a wife and a dog.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like if I tried to be like, for 6 months, I'm going to travel, like, my wife would be like, you can't do that. And then all of her friends would be like, you should leave them.
And they'd be right.
Yeah, no, they wouldn't be like, that's what's great.
They would not be out of line.
I feel like we both travel solo for work a lot. So like we scratch that itch a little bit, but it is for work. But I think either one of us would be cool if I was like, babe, I think I want to go to Vietnam by myself. We're like at a level where we like, it's not like I'm going on a fuck tour. Like she knows, like, it's not about like, I need to flirt with girls on my own. It's more like, I think I just need it for my own growth.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
That's cool.
And especially because like, she's not really like, she's so afraid of spiders that it's like detrimental to her like activities. Like she doesn't want to ever go camping or anything like that. And I'm like, well, that's stuff I want to do. So like, you have to be cool with me doing it without you.
Even if it's a fuck tour, as long as there are spiders involved, there.
I'm going to the Congo and I'm going to fuck tarantulas.
If you ever want to go on any vacation without her, even if you want to just go to London, just say there might be a spider in the Airbnb.
I looked it up and it's Black Widow season in Scotland. Aren't you going just on a Scotch distillery tour? Nah, they got spiders all over there.
But the name of the distillery is the Black Widow, don't you see?
Don't go.
The logo is everywhere.
Do you guys have any insane, like debilitating fears? Not debilitating fears.
Phobias?
Phobias or things that you think, like, if I didn't have this facet of my personality, I could do more things. You know what I mean?
Those are two different things. Like, one is, like, being too neurotic and I have a low tolerance of being like uncomfortable, so I don't like camping. Like when it's cold out, I prefer not to camp. If it's too hot out, I prefer not to camp. So, like,
but
it's
not like you're like, I really wish I could go camping, but I'm so
right.
Easily
yeah,
fear.
Like a fear of snakes. Yeah, your thing is a phobia that you don't, or not even, your thing is a preference that you wouldn't.
Yes,
choose.
A preference.
Right,
so, like,
right. You wouldn't be like, I wish I was cool with the cold so I can finally go camping. Like that doesn't matter to you as much.
So, I guess I don't like going fast in things. So like, but I like the idea of riding a motorcycle or like skiing down a mountain. But anytime I've ever like gotten on the back of someone's bike or tried skiing, I'm like, this is way too fast.
Yeah, that's funny.
So I guess if I had like a little bit more
like insane crowds, it feels the same way.
Yeah,
like,
I think if I had like some kind of like action movie here, like I romanticize action movie heroes, and then like in the moment, I'm like, this is too intense.
I'm the same way about like crowds. I'm like, dude, it'd be so amazing to be such a huge part of like the idea of Burning Man sounds amazing. And then it's like, if I'm like in like a crowd with like 50 people and they're remotely annoying, I'm like instantly turned off.
Yeah.
I wish I had slightly higher tolerance for other people. You know? I feel that.
Like, so I guess
I let other people that are arguably strangers ruin my time at other places where I'm like, I don't want to be at this place anymore because the vibe here is that people are annoying. You know what I mean? Like, and I'll like limit my own experience. Like, I don't want to go to that. Everyone's going to be like standing and singing and shit. I don't want to be
concerts?
At that. Like, it's like, yeah, like miss my own, like miss a concert of a band I like because I don't want to deal
with it. Which is interesting because like you could easily hold court and be the center of attention. And I feel like I like that kind of thing too. I like being surrounded by people who are like friendly and everybody's having a good time. But if I go into a new space where like I don't know anyone, if I don't have like a warm introduction, I feel very uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah.
If I don't have somebody to be like, this is Jake, now Jake, go speak, win everyone over.
Yeah.
Then I can't. I can't walk into a bar and just be like, hey, how's it going?
Yeah, that's when I have like 9 drinks too fast. You know, like when you're at like a weird premiere party and you're like, I thought I would know more people here. And then like you get stuck in a weird conversation and you're like, I got to get another drink. And you like walk over and get like as an excuse to leave. And then you're not talking to anyone. So you're just kind of, and then all of a sudden you're like, well, I've had 12 tequila sodas and I'm at this Funnier Die event that I don't even really want to be at. And now I'm too drunk. Now I get one interaction with a person that you're like maybe like, of the level of people you wanted to network with.
The boss.
And you're like, and I'm fucking wasted. And I'm like spitting in Will Ferrell's mouth again.
Frenching Adam McKay.
Oh, God. Oh,
I'm such a big fan.
Hold doors for people.
You're telling me to, or yeah, that's a phobia.
Oh, actually, I don't. Maybe I talked about this on the podcast, but I learned two gentlemanly things to do that I've done, and I think it's nice. Okay, one, if you are getting into a taxi with a date, you think that opening the door is the polite thing to do, but technically, the polite thing to do is to get in first, so you are the one who scoots.
Yes.
Apparently.
Yes.
And then if you are going through a revolving door, it is more polite for you to go first.
To get the momentum.
Yeah. So you are actually, you are the one opening the door.
Oh.
But all these things are not acceptable anymore. The gender norms have switched.
Yeah, yeah. I always say, like, yes, the gender norms have switched, but to me, that just means hold the door open for guys now, too.
Yeah, hold it for everybody.
Yeah, like whoever, for the person behind you. It's really not that hard.
I guess chivalry isn't really gender specific. It's just
right, you
being
can be
cool.
Chivalrous to people in general, and I think that's actually probably good life advice, where it's like, if shit you would do, like this m'lady bullshit that you would do to like try to impress chicks, like do it for
try
guys.
Try to impress a dude.
But imagine buying a dude, like, I mean, a person, we should say, let's not even use gender. Just imagine just like buying a drink for someone that you weren't trying to hook up with at the bar. It's like, hey, send those guys down there a couple of cocktails.
Hey, that brings us all the way back to buying a shot for your bartender.
Yes.
That's right.
I want to start buying like appetizers for people at the bar instead of like, and be like, hey, this plate of onion rings is from that dude over there. And be like, enjoy, sister.
Hey, can we get sweet tater tots? And you know what? One for you too. I'm
hey,
okay.
Why don't you help yourself to
a cheeseburger? I already ate.
Buying like lamb chops for the bartender.
For the waiter.
Hey, these are for you, man. Help yourself. It's like,
you
what?
Want one?
I was at the barber the other, a while ago, obviously. And a dude was like, I'm going to run by, I'm going to go next door and get myself some dinner. Do you guys want anything? They're like, no, we're fine. He's like, well, what if I grabbed you guys some like tater tots and some wings or something like that? You guys will have it? They're like, yeah, I mean, I guess so. Yeah, thanks. And like the dude dropped off tater tots and wings. I'm like, I don't want these barbers going to eat like finger food in the back and then coming out and cutting my hair. But it was like
sauce.
A weird, the dude like forced it on them in a weird way.
He was a guy getting his hair cut and then he went out and got them food?
Yeah, he like knew them a little bit more than I did, at least. way more than I did. Oh. This is something completely separate, but this is something that's a new pet peeve of mine. I'll give advice. Also, let yourself be treated to things.
For example?
Like, we're out to dinner, you offer to pay, rather than fight and make a big stink out of it and be like, no, let me pay half. Because my mom, this stresses me, my mom and my aunt do this so much. Like, we always go out to dinner with these two families. And my mom will be like, let me pay. My aunt will be like, you're not fucking paying, Joanne. And they like fight over it. And then it's like, if my mom ends up treating, both parties are now mad. And one of them got a free dinner and one of them got to buy their dinner for their sister. I feel like I've said it because like we were out and someone bought us dinner and Tiffany was like arguing with them. I went, hey, this was very nice of you to treat us.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Dude, I have the exact same issue and I have a system for it. You do one protest, and then that's it.
I call
it a faux test. You say, like, oh, no, let's split it. And they say, no, I got it. And then, like, stop and say thank you. Because the weirdest thing is for somebody to be like, let me get your dinner. And then they feel like you're mad at
them. And it's like you're in this moment where you're like, no, I'm trying to help you by offering to pay my half. And then you're like, but really what I'm doing is negating what you offered to do.
Right.
And in your head, just clock that and be like, well, next time I go out with Amir, let me make sure I buy him dinner.
Yeah, well, he'll never buy you dinner. But
I'm not stressed about that. That's
not a lunch.
How about you buy me lunch first and then we'll hopefully get around to another one where I
thought
pay
we got you a sandwich that day at Trencher.
I think I paid. No, yeah. I love that. That's the joke I do with my manager if we're ever out to dinner. Like, I know he's going to put it on the company card.
Oh, yeah.
But I do the fake wallet lean where I go, like, make eye contact and go. And he goes, don't worry about it. I'm like, I know. But
that's all you
got
to do. You just
got
emotion.
Yeah.
This was a sponge in my back pocket anyway.
I lost my wallet years ago. I have no identity.
You know that.
As my manager. Oh, you don't? We should talk more. I'm trying to think of any others. How about advice of someone who's starting a podcast. Ooh, I'm just thinking of like things I've done and like things we've all done in life.
I usually tell people that the idea has to be like easily produced. A lot of people like come in with grandiose ideas like, I'm going to talk to this person, then I'm going to interview their grandparents. And then when I interview their grandparents, they're going to like link me up with one person and then I'll do like a sit down interview and that'll be an episode.
Right.
Yeah. Like, after four, you're going to be so burnt out.
Yeah,
don't
it's
do
like,
that.
Imagine doing it.
Yes.
That's right. All I say is like, imagine doing it. Like, think about your favorite podcast. How many episodes do they have? Can you do that many episodes of your idea?
That's right. Make it as simple as possible. Ideally, you and maybe a friend, maybe a guest. Even guests we find is difficult to get. So it's like just me and Jake sometimes.
Right. It makes so much. Well, that's pretty much what, when you guys came to me to do High and Mighty, I was inspired by the Jeff Rubin show.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That he sort of does whatever he wants.
Right.
And I enjoy that it's self-serving because I enjoy Jeff.
Yes.
So when it was like my turn, I was like, well, I kind of don't know what I want to do, whether I want to be able to talk about action movies. And like the Action Boys and the Taco Bell were two things I knew I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I was like, but I also want to, like, I love to have highfalutin conversation. I love to sit down with two buds and be like, what's like real life advice? And like, that shit you can't. So I was like, what's the umbrella for all of that? And I'm like, oh, a non-specific title. Yeah,
the John Gabris show.
Basically. Right, exactly.
The Gabris Variety Hour.
I would have called it something like that if Jeff Rubin show wasn't what I was ripping
the
off.
The John Gabris Jeff Rubin show.
The John Gabris show would be so fucking transparent. And what I ended up doing was making a podcast that was, now it's peak self-serving, where I pick the guests, they come to my house, and we talk about a topic we've chosen together.
That's right.
Now, that's insane, but it's how I've gotten to almost 200 episodes.
That's
it's like
right,
the only way is that would have happened is like if I made it easy. Because that was the thing I said to you guys too when you were like, you want to do a podcast? I'm like, I don't want to do any of the work. And you were like, look, we'll get the equipment, we'll do the editing, we'll upload it. Like, I'm like, I'm not good with technology. It takes me so long. You're like, we'll do all of that. We just think you're funny. Like, you guys gave me the confidence boost that I really needed when you were like, we just think you're funny and you're the type of person that should have a podcast. And I was like, and you're like, we're launching a podcast network. We want to launch you. I was like, well, I wouldn't have, I still might not have started a podcast yet. If you, and it took like you guys saying, do the thing.
Look,
well,
yeah. I'm glad
look
we
how
did
right
we were.
Right. Yeah.
How right we were. Podcasting ends up being my fucking main income. Like I'm alive still because of podcasts. It's truly kept me sane because it's been my new live shows where like no matter what was going on in my entertainment career, I would get to go do improv and make or stand up and everyone laugh and feel good.
Yeah.
And now I got that on a slightly larger scale where it's like instead of 200 people, it's 20,000 people. And I'm like so excited to like I still have this.
Yeah.
No matter
because really
it you can go to every meeting and get rejected. But then when you sit down and put on the mic, you're like, well, this is my domain.
Yeah. Right.
This is like, people want to hear this.
We can do whatever we want.
Right. Exactly. And it's like, look, we're fucking so lazy. We combined two episodes into one.
It's perfect for us.
Advertisers are going to love this.
We couldn't do this on TV.
You couldn't.
No.
I mean, there used to be crossover episodes, but
of course.
But it would be wildly expensive. Of course, we can't do this, but they used to do it. I know.
Hey, whatever, man.
Now I'm here, flip right in front
on
of
us. On a trifle, baby. Tell me where to go.
I would say also like, and this maybe will piss a lot of people off.
Oh, is this the Jewish thing?
Yeah, yeah. Don't worry about like quality, like soundproofing your room or anything yet. Just get it going.
Marissa is sweating.
Marissa's like, yeah, no shit, Gabriel.
Even if the microphones peak, it's fine. Yeah. Right, Marissa?
Don't worry about sound quality because Marissa will handle it is what we're saying.
I think the main thing I would say, like another important thing is consistency.
Yeah.
Day of the week. Choose a day of the week and stick to it.
And just do it.
Yeah.
And like try to never miss. I've never missed one Thursday. One time I did, but it came out on Friday, but just because I had no idea what the date was. And this right. was 2 weeks ago.
And it's because
so 3 years with only one Thursday missed.
But also, I've never taken a week off from an episode ever. I've had episodes come out on Christmas and New Year's.
That's amazing.
I've never not had an episode come out in a week.
That's great.
Yeah.
And that's another testament to the idea not being so difficult. You don't have to like grab friends or do interviews or do too much insane
right,
editing.
Or like, okay, I got to punch up this jam now. You know, like, this is my 290th jam.
Thank God they
I have to make
to
an
me.
Original song this week.
Yeah. Well, when you guys are talking about, like, the work of a podcast, if you go to guest on that podcast, you're like, you wrote a song in your free time?
Shit.
Jesus
and
Christ.
They do not have free time.
Yeah, no, they're both working human beings. It's wild. Yeah, and also for me, my podcast allowed me, the thing it all stemmed from, too, was the reason Action Boys exists is because one time at Birds, me, Rogers, and Stanger all just happened to start talking about the movie Predator, and we were all so informed and so obsessed with it. We talked for like 45 minutes, and there's not often that you talk to your adult friends for 45 minutes unbroken, not, like where you're not like, I should go talk to someone else. But like, we just happened to have this corner table. We didn't really know each other that well at the time.
Yeah.
I mean, me and Rogers are longtime friends, but we didn't know Stanger that well, and we started talking to him. I was like, this is why podcasts exist for hosts, is like, I want to talk to my fucking friend. Like, literally, I just, when I saw you guys the other day for that thing, I was like, do you guys, when are you in town? Let's do a fucking podcast together.
Yeah.
It's a way to catch up for one
hour. It's a way to professionally hang out.
Yeah. It's a way to monetize conversations.
Finally. Yeah.
How can I make money off my friend?
It's a way to get Amir to talk to you.
You owe me $70, by the way.
What? Yeah. I'm paying. Oh, I have to pay. I should start paying my guests.
That's
now.
A whole other thing.
Yeah, not today.
Not today.
Starting next year.
HeadGum should start doing it.
Should I be stressed out at all that the guys who run my podcast company are launching Patreon? Is that a bad sign?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We're fucked, dude.
We are trying to cork the dam any way we possibly can.
Any other podcast advice?
Keep it simple. Schedule. Wear headphones. Says yeah, we
Marissa
should be asking
wear headphones.
But see, I already don't like her advice.
Get your own podcast, Marissa.
I think it ties back into the other advice that we have is just do the thing. I feel like with podcasts, with writing, with so many creative endeavors that people ask me about, they're like perfectionists before they even get started. It's so self-defeating to be like, I'm not going to do this unless I can do it right. Like, you're not going to do it right. You won't. Your first episode is not going to be the fucking best thing
you're
you've
speaking
ever done.
To my core right now. This is my main issue is like, I know if I try to write this thing, it's not going to be as funny as it is in my head.
Right.
And it's like, of course not.
No, it won't be the first time.
You got to get it to that point.
Yeah, that's what effort is. So
but
like,
you got to write that shit thing.
Yeah.
And
you
it's
do.
So, it's so easy to, you're Jake, you're so right. It's so easy to think that you're working on something by thinking about it.
Right. But
you
are
like,
so
I've been
not.
Like knocking this idea around in my head for a while. Like I personally do, and I know my friends do too, where they're like, yeah, I want to write that fucking paintball movie. You know, and it's like, you've been talking about that for 18 months. Like you would have written it if you would have had 8 drafts done. You would have sold it and shot it by now.
And it's a self-fulfilling prophecy too, because like the longer you do think about it, the more perfect it has to be when it does
in
come
order
out.
For it to justify all the time you thought about it.
Hey, just throw some shit on a wall. It's okay. Like just record it. You don't even have to release it, but just record it.
Just start doing the podcast because it's so easy to get caught up in the like, we should. And it's like, just do it.
Yeah. You can always delete your back catalog when you think you finally recorded your perfect episode.
Right. That Ira Glass advice that's like, your taste is better than your skills. So like, if you're a fan of something, if you're a fan of comedy, your taste in comedy, you are not good enough to impress yourself until you get better at it. So like that could limit.
That's really
that
smart.
Limits you in a weird way because you're like, well, I love painting, but I can't paint like my favorite paintings. And it's like, no shit, neither could they when they started.
Yeah, that but wasn't Picasso's first Starry Night. No, that's Van Gogh. Sorry. Edit that out. Marissa, should know
no
art.
Editing on High and Mighty. The only editing we ever do on High and Mighty is when someone goes, can you take out the part where I shit talk someone by name that might eventually hire me?
Yeah, Van Gogh.
Oh, fuck, dude. Fuck. Yeah,
your ex's sister with the sandwich shop.
Right. God damn it. The getting your skill level to your taste level is something like there's that huge gap there and that'll prevent you from doing anything if you really, of course,
right.
You should have good taste in the thing you like and eventually you'll reach it if you're pursuing it.
Yeah, but you don't get better by not doing it.
Exactly. It's so easy to be like, I have this funny idea for a movie, but then you start writing it and you're like, this isn't as funny and this is way harder than I thought it was and it's not as rewarding as I thought it was.
Yeah.
But you just got to fucking know what it's going to be like at writing sucks, having written is awesome.
Yep.
Running sucks, having ran is awesome.
Sex sucks, having sexed is awesome.
What?
You mean in the midst of, in mid-coitus it sucks?
Yeah.
But like after the afterglow?
Fact, yeah, just laying down next to someone and going, that was awesome.
And then you're like, did you come? And they're like, no.
But not in English.
And they're like, neither.
Gamers loved it.
Well, I just explained the most insane dynamic that you have, that you are like hating the fact that you're coming, and then afterwards you're like, finally, now I can cut loose.
Now I can do the best part, which is adding it to my number.
Well, I will say, in a long-term relationship, there is an element to having had sex where you're like if we fuck like early or something like that in the yeah. in the day, it's like, well, now we don't have to even think about it.
Yeah,
like,
it's not like, on anybody's mind anymore.
Yeah, now it's like,
it's
now,
not hanging over us.
Now I can eat a big meal.
That's why I exercise in the morning.
That's a great, great piece of advice. Also, for going back to that unemployed thing and the creative life, something that the guy said to me that day too that stuck with me was, set an alarm. Even if your alarm is 9 a.m. or 10 a.m., set an alarm and build yourself a routine.
Oh. Yeah.
And it's true. And it's like getting up and going to the gym in the morning is like, for someone who has their own schedule, is like, you can't, technically you can go at 1 or 3 or whatever, but yeah. it's like,
but I won't.
You'll easily put something in front of you. If you just get up and go and do it, you can come home. Like Billy Scafuri always says, he's like, and then think about it. You can come home and smoke weed and do nothing all day long. You don't normally do that, but if you allow...
He doesn't say that to me, but yeah.
Yeah.
For me, he's like, just me, think about it.
It's the only way to get me to the gym.
He's got different tools for motivating people.
Yeah. That's what makes him awesome. He tells me I can spend the rest of my day setting my fantasy basketball lineup.
You're like, thanks, Billy. Run away with your fucking game.
Spot me. Time to go lose money on FanDuel.
You know, I wanted to answer some questions, but this is better. It's kind of like the unsolicited advice episode of our podcast. We're just
throwing a bunch of theme song at the beginning.
Yeah. Oh, that works. Perfect. And this works for High Mighty because it's all over the place and garbage. Except people are going to be like, it's recorded well.
Yeah.
So let's wrap it up with physical health or fitness advice you've received.
Ooh.
Like, or that you want to give. Here's something that Mono, who's been a guest on my podcast a bunch of times, he says, and it stuck with me, and Stanger always brings it up on Dumbbells, another HeadGum podcast. It stuck with him too. Mono says, like, late at night, if you're feeling the craving to eat, like you've been drinking or you're stoned and you want to eat something so gross, you're like, let's get pizza, let's get Fat Sal's. He will tell himself, don't do that. But go to sleep, and when you wake up in the morning, you can eat whatever you want. You can have a huge-ass breakfast. Pancakes, you want burritos, you want whatever. You can get it all in the morning. And then you go to sleep, and you wake up, and you're like, I'm not going to fucking do this. Like,
I want an apple.
Yeah, like, I don't want that.
Tricking your future self rather than
punishing. And it's like tricking yourself.
Lie to your future self.
Yes.
Or lie to your current self.
Yeah.
Yeah. And have your future self via your current self. Right. Tell your current self, future self's lie.
Can you
I think I just time travel.
Manipulate your future, your current self.
Well, your future self just walked through the door.
Oh, fuck, he shoots me. Looper. That's my movie, is Pooper.
Nice.
I get shot on the toilet by future self. Dude, is it... Oh, man, I wish College Humor was still making originals.
Pooper?
Yeah, because my favorite gag about College Humor was like, okay, what's something that's topical? Great, we have Looper. What's something that is from our childhood? Great, Tetris. Okay, it's Tetralooper. And it's like, thank you, Dan Gerwich.
And
we're ready
to
rock.
A pun?
I think when you have to put out 3 videos a week, you get to that point.
And it's on dig.
Yeah. Relevant pun.
Relevant pun is true. Yeah. Come up with a title, work backwards from there.
Yeah. That's what Shanghai Nights was, I think.
Oh,
cool.
Stop
bringing that up. We've had to edit out the first 40 times you brought up Shanghai Nights. We'll leave that one in. Do you have any good physical fitness or health advice?
I think the thing that has been the truest for me is that, like, there was a lot of times where I was like, I'm going to get in shape. I'm going to get jacked. And I would always like try to do something that I wasn't like, I'd like force myself to lift or run or something. And it wasn't until I realized that I liked hiking and climbing and doing these and like bike riding. It's like, oh, if you make your exercise something you enjoy, then you can work out without actually feeling like,
oh,
fuck, I got to go to the gym. I got to do this set. And like, I've been so into climbing that that's like made me more into lifting.
Because you're like, I want to get better at climbing.
Right. I want my core to be stronger so I can be a better climber. So that's like translated now into liking the gym. So I think if you can find an exercise that you enjoy, it doesn't have, like, I don't think that very many people just enjoy being on the elliptical for 20 minutes.
Right, right.
But like you might like playing pickup soccer or like joining a softball
and then
league.
You also might go like, oh, if I ran a little more, I would be better at my pickup soccer game.
Right.
Yeah.
So just, yeah, find the thing that ignites the
That's me.
Passion.
That's why I sign up for half marathons and play rugby still every once in a while is because it's like the only, I still am like got a little bit of jock in me where I'm like, I don't want to be bad at this.
Yeah. You're competitive.
Right. Yeah. So then you don't want to, and even if it's just with myself, I'm like, well, don't, if you're going to go to Seattle to play rugby, you might as well be able to try hard while you're there.
Find a way to compete.
Oh, that's so true. That's so fun. Also, you were saying, I'm going to get jacked. And sometimes when you're saying that, you're like, all right, so I'm going to lift 4 days a week. And then like when you set the bar too high on yourself,
right,
and you're like, no one can get to the gym that, but if you go 1 day a week and you were going zero previously, you've improved your life 100%. Like, and it's like, instead you're like, well, I'm not going five. And it's like, well, if the options are five or zero, like you're in a bad place. If the options are zero, one, or five, and one is better than zero.
That's doing the thing.
It's just doing the thing. Just fuck, dude. It all comes back.
We should sell this tagline to Nike. Okay, ready? Just do the thing.
Yeah. We should make it a little longer.
Just do begin the friggin' thing. A
couple more words in there.
And it'll be three swooshes.
What about you, A? Do you have any?
I like going with a friend. That's helped me a lot. Going with Billy, going with you, going with
the accountability part. Yeah. I don't even work out with you necessarily, but just knowing that I'm like, are you going tomorrow?
That's right.
Is enough to be like, yeah, I should.
Right, like, I'll go. I wasn't going to go if you didn't text there. Me.
Yeah. one last piece of health advice that I got for diet specifically is come up with a easy, healthy breakfast that you can eat 5 days a week and not be like burned out on, even if you change it every couple of weeks. Like I eat 2 hard-boiled eggs every morning for about 5 years now. Like, and it's so
for about
simple.
5 hours.
And it makes it guaranteed that one of my meals, in the morning when I don't have like the correct decision-making ability going on, one of my meals every day is relatively healthy and it's easy. And I have no, because it's like if I let myself be like, let me maybe order breakfast, let me go make something. It's like just bang down those eggs and you're fucking moving along.
Yeah. I think that's a big thing for
easy.
What?
Yeah. Eggs are insanely easy to make.
Yes.
Like really 30 seconds.
It's awesome. And it's like, and it's protein, it's no carbs. And it's like, it's a very easy thing. Or if your thing is oatmeal or it's a bowl of fruit or it's a smoothie, just make the same thing. And then if you look at it, if you eat like shit the rest of the meals, but Monday through Friday or even Monday through Sunday, but say you do it Monday through Friday, there's 21 meals a week. If you eat healthy breakfast Monday through Friday, 25% of your meals are healthy.
Yeah.
No matter what you do the rest of them. If you go ham on the rest of them, literally
eating ham. Loose ham.
I used to always think that diet is just like, oh, so eat a salad all the time. And I hate salads. Right. But like, I think I've learned that there's a million different diets out there. You find one that like is tolerable to your palate.
Yeah.
Like a diet where I can have eggs in the morning, that's great. Yeah, I like eggs.
I always say, don't even worry about dying, just dieting. Worry about being less gross than you were previously. It's like all I do. It's like normally I would have a burger here, but maybe I'll just get chicken.
Do you prep all your eggs do you like hard boil 12 eggs?
No, I'm going to start doing that. But I usually do them fresh in the morning because I like them a little warm. But I'm going to start going, if I start going to the gym early again, I'm going to have them done so I could just pop them, drink my coffee, shit, and
like
get
pills.
To the gym. Yeah. Just on the drive to the gym, pop 2 hard-boiled eggs in my mouth, swallow them with a cold brew, and then get immediately in the sauna and shit a fucking alive chicken. What the fuck?
That's how eggs work.
That's how eggs work.
Gabrus incubates in a chicken. He incubates the chick in his body and shits it out.
Guys, thank you so much for coming on If I Were High and Mighty.
Oh, thank you for coming on If I Were High and Mighty too.
Oh, please. It was such a pleasure having myself on your podcast.
This is one of our longest episodes, so hopefully our fans appreciate
this
it.
This is one of
well.
My shorter episodes.
We met in the middle. Compromise.
I don't look at a clock, a headphone, the levels. I don't do anything, clearly. But where are you guys at on Twitter for High and Mighty listeners so that they can tweet at us unsolicited advice or advice that they've gotten at different stages?
That's great. I'd love to read that. I'm Jake Hurwitz.
At Jake Hurwitz.
At Jake and Amir.
At Jake and Amir. And I'm at Gabrus, G-A-B-R-U-S.
Solid get.
Yeah. Dude, guys, check out Jake and Amir's podcast, If I Were You. And if you're just a fan of me and hate these guys, I've been on a few episodes of theirs. Start there. Right. I think you'll become a fan of their podcast.
And likewise, if you're listening to this episode on the If I Were You feed, listen to more High and Mighty. You obviously like
pop
it.
Back
do you have
over
a good entry-level podcast for people that are listening to you on the first time for the first time on our podcast?
Probably the one with us on it. I guess that's
probably this one. No, my first one, because the first one is like not really about anything. It's about starting a podcast that you guys did.
It didn't not even have a name, or it did have a name then?
I think it had a name at that point. But I think like you can check out any one of the Action Boys episodes that's just talking about movies. The Taco Bell episodes are sort of like brand, brand. I highly recommend checking those out. And then the Power Hour episodes are pretty gross and disgusting
I love the Power Hour episodes.
People seem to dig them.
John Carlos Power Hour episode is one of my favorites.
Insane. Those, you have to know them to realize how insane it is that they're talking into microphones.
That's really true.
Check out the Action Boys podcast and Raised by TV, and check out Buckets, and check out Not Another D&D podcast.
Nice.
We're all multi-podcast heads in here. Check out All Fantasy Everything, because Mars really likes those guys. She couldn't give a fuck about my podcast. And Demi and Miel are standing outside the door giving us threatening gestures.
Oh yeah, that's right.
That's 10 feet tall together. Terrifying. Bye, shitheads.
That was a HeadGum podcast.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news. We're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Lateman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them, why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
I will.
Can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.